Today, weather radar has helped us a lot, he says. Weather radar has helped us a lot? A second hint from the flight deck. What the engineer means is just what the first officer meant. This isn't a night where you can rely on just your eyes to land the plane. Look at what the weather radar is telling us. There's trouble ahead. To Western ears, it seems strange the flight engineer would bring this subject up just once. Western communication has what linguists call a transmitter orientation. That is, it is considered the responsibility of the speaker to communicate ideas clearly and unambiguously. Even in the tragic case of the Air Florida crash, where the first officer never does more than hint about the danger posed by the ice, he still hints four times, phrasing his comments four separate ways in an attempt to make his meaning clear. He may have been constrained by the power distance between himself and the captain, but he was still operating within a Western cultural context which holds that if there is confusion, it is the fault of the speaker. But Korea, like many Asian countries, is receiver-oriented. It's up to the listener to make sense of what is being said. In the engineer's mind, he said a lot. Ho Min-seon gives the following conversation as an illustration, an exchange between an employee, Mr. Kim, and his boss, a division chief. Division chief, it's cold and I'm kind of hungry. What that means, Seon says, is, why don't you buy a drink or something to eat? Mr. Kim, how about a glass of liquor? Meaning, I will buy liquor for you. Division chief, it's okay, don't bother. Meaning, I will accept your offer if you repeat it. Mr. Kim, you must be hungry. How about going out? Meaning, I insist on treating you. Division chief, shall I do so? Meaning, I accept. There is something beautiful in the subtlety of that exchange, in the intention that each party must pay to the motivations and desires of the other. It's civilized in the truest sense of that word. It does not permit insensitivity or indifference. But high power distance communication only works when the listener is capable of paying close attention, and it only works if the two parties in a conversation have the luxury of time in order to unwind each other's meanings. It doesn't work in a cockpit on a stormy night with an exhausted pilot trying to land at an airport with a broken glidescope. In 2000, Korean Air finally acted, bringing in an outsider from Delta Airlines, David Greenberg, to run their flight operations. Greenberg's first step was something that would make no sense if you did not understand the true roots of Korean Air's problems. He evaluated the English language skills of all the airline's flight crews. Some of them were fine, and some of them weren't, he remembers. So he set up a program to assist and improve the proficiency of aviation English. His second step was to bring in a Western firm, a subsidiary of Boeing called Altion, to take over the company's training and instruction programs. Altion conducted their training in English, Greenberg said. They didn't speak Korean. Greenberg's rule was simple. The new language of Korean Air was English, and if you wanted to remain a pilot at the company, you had to be fluent. This was not a purge, he said. Everyone had the same opportunity. And those who found the language issue challenging were allowed to go out and study on their own nickel. But language was the filter. I can't recall that anyone was fired for flying proficiency shortcomings. Greenberg's rationale was that English was the language of the aviation world. When the pilots sat in the cockpit and worked their way through the written checklists that flight crews follow on every significant point of procedure, those checklists were in English. When they talked to air traffic control anywhere in the world, those conversations would be in English.